I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
It's Rick Tittle.
Hey, thank you for that, and welcome to another live edition of Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. I got my morning voice, girl, because it is the morning, 9:06 a.m. out here in San Francisco, 12:06 on the East Coast. It's lunchtime. What are you doing? I'm walking. Does anybody in New York ever say, I'm walking here, like Dustin Hoffman in The Midnight Cowboy? Maybe they do it because of the movie. I'm walking here, but we're talking here is what we're doing. Ha-ha. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, Quidditch, rollerball, chess, checkers, rugby, cricket, all that good stuff. And I'd love to have you be a part of it. If you see fit, there's a toll-free line at 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. It'll get you in and get you heard by these 50 states and Canada and Mexico and the world. Big shout-out to our brave men and women in uniform who are working for the post office. Now, for working for the American Forces Radio Network and our postal workers, too. But I'm a fan of AFN. I come from a military family. I think most Americans do. But even if you don't, we certainly appreciate all that you do to sacrifice and keep us safe and allow us to do things like this. And especially those of you stateside, the mom, the dad, the grandma, the grandpa, whoever's taking the kid to soccer and ballet and correcting homework and washing the clothes. It takes a whole family. It takes a village. So we appreciate it. We're on the TuneIn app, the iHeartRadio app, the Stitcher app, plus CRN Digital Plus 2, the Cable Radio Network Channel 2, your cable provider. Got a couple of guests in the first hour. We're going to start off with Gideon King, the New York City jazz musician. We'll also have Paula Schnur, executive director of the National Center for PTSD. And Karen Lyle will join us at 9:40, as she always does, for SalesportTalk.com. Gary Peterson, the drummer of The Guess Who, American Woman. Stay away from me. Don't stay away from the show, though. And open lines at 1-800-878-PLAY. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code GAS11. Use code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A+ BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
Peel away that pretty bark, take deep root in my soul, 'cause it's 2 a.m. in East New York and I'm cooking all alone. We were reckless for the gods to see, you spiked me to your bed, then you crafted red-eyed friendships with the prowlers in my head.
All right, you're listening to the dulcet tones of our next guest, Gideon King. I'm Rick Tittle, back with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Gideon Kidd and City Blog, they are a soul/jazz outfit out of New York City, led by our guest. Gideon, welcome to the show. And, you know, a lot of times people get reviews and they're from places you've never heard of. And, you know, they'll say a tour de force or a triumph. But the Huffington Post called you a musical genius. That's a real place with a real review. What do you think about that?
Yeah, man. I only paid them $75,000 to do it, so it was a good deal.
We just heard your latest single, Turn Off the Sky, and this is gearing up for your release of your new Splinters EP coming out on September 15th. I guess nowadays, this is kind of how it works. Instead of just putting out a vinyl album like when I was a kid in the 70s, you give singles and they go to Spotify and Apple Music. I guess it's a different world now, huh?
Totally. It's not like when I was, you know, 22, waiting for the next Steely Dan album to come out, and I'd go to 86th Street and Lexington Avenue and buy my vinyl album and then come home and worship it for 5 hours. It's a completely different world, totally more expedient, kind of sad, actually, but it is what it is, and I'm not going to row against the current, because that's a way to lose.
It is weird how, like, because I was born in the 60s, and like you said, you know, we'd get an album, I'd sit in a beanbag chair and I would look at the album cover, and if we were really lucky, it would have lyrics, you know, as the liner notes.
Right. Totally.
And yet vinyl's coming back. As much of a pain that vinyl is, I mean, CDs, we were like, wow, we don't have to clean the stylus anymore. Like, I don't see rotary phones coming back. So what do you think about the visceral thing about vinyl that's it made a comeback now?
So I think it's sort of like a two or three part phenomenon. First of all, there's always counter trends in anything we do. So it's a counter trend. It's a retro counter trend. Two, I would say aesthetically, vinyl is just cool. I mean, it's this shiny black disc with this cool stylus thing riding it. And It's just aesthetically cool, and it's tactile. And like now, where everything is just, you press the name of the song on Spotify, everything is so deeply digital and so sort of like socially compressed, not to mention actually sonically compressed, that I think there's this sort of counter-trend thirst for something tactile, hip, and cool-looking. And then the truth is that when you do listen on vinyl, there's a difference. There's a warmth and a reality to the music that you don't get when you pop, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, and whatever on. So I think it's like a mixture of those different things. But it does actually sound kind of warmer and better and more truly analog. So I think it's like those three factors kind of pushing back against the almost breakneck speed expediency of modern music consumption.
Very interesting. And it's interesting too that you bring up Steely Dan, which your sound's been compared, and you know, doing a deep dive on Donald and Walter, they basically said, look, we're not doing any concerts. We're going to just get session musicians, and we're going to be, people talk about how meticulous they were. And it's like, try a solo here on Reeling in the Years. And they'd get like 10 guys and they go, okay, that's the one. When you think about how meticulous they were, almost scientifically, to get the sound just right, how does that compare to you guys?
I mean, obviously, comparing us to Steely Dan, who's my favorite band of all time. I mean, I loved Steely Dan even before I was born, if you know what I mean. And so comparing ourselves to Steely Dan is kind of like a terribly narcissistic, horrifying act. But we are, you know, they were in pursuit of sonic perfection. And in a studio, you should be, right? Like, there's no excuse not to be in pursuit of something really special sonically. So when we produce stuff in the studio, particularly our new EP, Splinters, the five tunes on that, we are going for that kind of cleanliness and that kind of perfection. And it is a different world than hearing the imperfections in a guitar solo on a Neil Young album. It is a different world than identifying some mistakes on some Lynyrd Skynyrd stuff, although they produced great stuff. But I love it. I embrace it. I think it's a chance to be perfect. There's like really very few chances to be perfect in the world. You certainly can't do it on a sports field, but you can do it in the studio. And so we do try. We do try and do that. We do play a lot of live shows, and of course, ultimately Steely did too. But we really do that. And in today's world, with so many toys, you know, at some level, kind of shame on you if you're not producing pretty high quality stuff, because between real instruments and improved mics and improved old fashioned stuff, and also just what's in the box, meaning what's in the computer, what's available to us, man, your stuff should come out. It should come out pretty great. I mean, but that being said, we do surgery on our stuff, and the surgery goes for days and weeks on every tune. So, you know, I love it. But, yeah, man, so they were a huge, huge inspiration to me, Steely Dan, sonically, lyrically, and harmonically.
Very cool. And I've been to the the Blue Note in the Village over there on 3rd, and I bring that up because you guys have played there. So for a kid who got his albums at 85th and Lex, when you're doing clubs like the Blue Note, I mean, how surreal is that?
It's really cool. You know, there's a kind of, there's obviously an iconic feel to the Blue Note because, you know, man, I mean, every legend is played there. So it's very cool when you play there. And playing places like the Cutting Room or City Winery or Joe's Pub, those are different but equally very, very cool. We just did a show at the Cutting Room, which has a grittier feel, but God, has had so many great artists there. Even venues that are not as big or as polished like the Bitter End are like these iconic things where you can literally imagine, you know, Jackson Browne with his guitar, you know, 6 decades or I guess 4 or 5 decades ago, I don't know. And so New York, like New York City, is unbelievable because it still has those places. A lot of them were shut down during COVID, which is a total bummer. But it's very cool and very special to walk into the venue and see your band, you know, Gideon King and City Blog up there. And you put a lot of hard miles into writing the music and gathering a band and creating that ecosystem for making good music. So it's super cool, super, super gratifying. And, you know, it's New York, so it's fun.
Great stuff. And we'll hear a little bit more of Turn Off the Sky as we go out. But how can people find you and find the Splinters album?
So we've released two songs on the EP, Splinters and Turn Off the Sky. And you go on Spotify and you type in Gideon King and City Blog. You listen. And you can be happy knowing that every time you listen, we make 0.00000001 of a penny. So that's awesome. Do that. And then, of course, come see our shows. We're playing Brooklyn Bowl on July 13th, which is a great venue, great sound people, and just a cool, kind of an iconic venue in and of itself. So, you know, go on our website, join the mailing list. Man, all the shameless plug stuff that everybody says, just do all that stuff, and we'd be monstrously appreciative.
All right, Gideon King, we'll hear a little more of Turn Off the Sky. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Good meeting you.
Man, good luck to you, and thanks for having me, and thanks for the interest.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back. Paula Schnurr will join us in the middle of the next segment, talk about self-screening for PTSD. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come on back on Sports Byline.
Turn off the sky, steal the ocean. And I'm barely what I am today. Ain't that good enough for you?
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
support.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
It doesn't really matter. I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Tittle thinks there's a direct correlation between dogs and lightning.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. An estimated 6 out of every 100 people will have post-traumatic stress disorder, as we call it, PTSD, at some point in their lives. And in recognition with PTSD Awareness Month and as part of the screening day, the VA is encouraging veterans, service members, and just regular old civilians who have experienced trauma to take a self-screen. And to talk about it, we are happy to be joined by Dr. Paula Schnurr, Executive Director for the National Center for PTSD. First of all, Dr. Schnurr, thanks for being with us. Secondly, let's just go back to the very beginning. PTSD is something that I just described, but how would you describe PTSD?
Thank you for having me and for this opportunity to talk about PTSD. PTSD is a mental health condition that can happen to anyone, veteran or non-veteran, who's experienced a traumatic event, such as physical or sexual assault, combat, a natural disaster, or a serious accident. The symptoms of PTSD include intense, upsetting memories of the event, avoiding reminders of the event, anything that triggers the memories, changes in thoughts and feelings, being angry or feeling guilty or numb, and then hyperarousal, feeling keyed up. It's actually common to have any of these symptoms after a traumatic event. Most people will. And yet the symptoms tend to diminish over the days and weeks that follow. So PTSD isn't diagnosed unless the symptoms remain severe for at least a month.
What are some of the steps for self-screening? How do you do that?
Well, self-screening simply means taking a brief test on your own. And for PTSD, we recommend that people go to the National Center for PTSD website at PTSD.va.gov/screen, and just take the brief questionnaire that's there. It has 6 yes-no items. It takes less than a minute, and it can help a person determine if symptoms they're having may be PTSD. Sometimes, especially for people who had a traumatic experience in the past, they're not connecting the symptoms they have in the present with something that may have happened 20 years ago. They don't sleep well, they feel keyed up, they get very angry at times, and they haven't put the pieces together. So screening can be a very helpful way for people to understand whether those symptoms are PTSD and to take the next step of getting treatment for PTSD.
Do you think, in a way, that a lot of people use the term PTSD just for I'm angry today, and in a way kind of diminish how serious it is?
Well, I think as we've gotten greater awareness about PTSD, and especially in the past 20 years, we do use the word casually in conversation at times. But I also think that people really appreciate that this is a serious and prevalent mental health problem. And so, yes, sometimes people will use the term PTSD for just ordinary stresses, But what with that, what I'm saying, it has come an increased awareness of PTSD, and I think it has helped people who have PTSD feel recognized.
How much do you think the percentage of the military versus the percentage of the civilian population have PTSD?
Well, I can't speak about active duty personnel. I'm not aware of some good numbers right now, but to talk about veterans, national surveys estimate that about 6% of the U.S. general population and 7% of veterans have PTSD. Now, you might think that's really low. Don't a lot of veterans have PTSD? And it depends on the veteran's service era and whether they were deployed. So veterans who deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan have a much higher prevalence of PTSD than veterans who served in peacetime, although a veteran who served in peacetime can get PTSD from non-combat traumatic events. Again, trauma happens throughout the person's life and within the military and outside of the military.
And then when you think about it, let's say you take your self-screening, excuse me, at ptsd.va.gov/screen, and the website says you may have it. What's the next step?
The next step is to reach out and talk to a healthcare professional. A screen is not a formal diagnosis, so it doesn't necessarily mean you have PTSD, but if you screen positive, we suggest you reach out. And actually, if you're having symptoms, no matter how you screen, reach out, because you may have depression, you may have anxiety, you may have something that needs to be treated and can be treated. Veterans can go to the VA. Non-veterans can go to a primary care provider is a good place to start, or a mental health provider or a mental health clinic. Also, we recommend, because many people want to learn more about PTSD, if they think they have it, they want to know, what is this, what are my options? The National Center for PTSD website, which is ptsd.va.gov, has a lot of information, fact sheets, videos, also self-help tools, including apps that people can load on their phone to help them manage PTSD and related symptoms. But the important thing to remember is, if you screen positive, take the next step.
To me, it's pretty amazing how you can draw the distinction, and I admire how you can do it, because there'll be people who will say, I had a bad breakup and I was heartbroken and I didn't leave my apartment for 6 months. And then would you say, well, you don't have PTSD, you're just sad and depressed? I mean, like, how do you sort of draw those lines?
Well, it starts with whether the person has had an event that is life-threatening or has witnessed an event that is life-threatening. Now, sometimes these other stressors can be very impactful. So it's important, if a person is talking to a healthcare provider, it's important to share the experience that they've had, because that breakup or losing a job, for example, might be life-changing for an individual. But diagnostically, we tie things back to a traumatic event. And if a person hasn't had a traumatic event, what we try to do is figure out, well, what are they experiencing? Because, again, the events that are not the type that cause PTSD can still have major impacts on an individual.
Last question for you then. If you do have PTSD, what are the chances of ridding it?
Well, right now, it's a good time in PTSD, because we have a range of effective treatments. We've learned a lot over the years, and they're both psychotherapies and medications that work. The most effective treatments are called trauma-focused psychotherapy, and all that means is that in the psychotherapy, you focus on the memory of the event and its meaning to help a person reduce the distress that the memory is causing and reduce the effects that the memory is having on the person's life. The top three trauma-focused treatments are called cognitive processing therapy, prolonged exposure, and eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR. But there are medications. Some people don't want to go to psychotherapy and would prefer the simplicity of taking a medication. And we have medications that some of those that are used for treating depression also work for PTSD. So people have choices, and the choices are effective. And that's why we're encouraging screening and getting help if you think you may have PTSD.
Once again, 6% of the population will have PTSD. It is PTSD Awareness Month, and today, June 27th, is PTSD Screening Day. We've been speaking with Dr. Paula Schnurr, Executive Director at National Center for PTSD. And once again, that website, excuse me, for the self-screen is ptsd.va.gov/screen. I just did the test while you were talking. Luckily, I don't have it, but everybody should check it out. Dr. Schnurr, thank you so much for coming by, and we appreciate you getting the word out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And as I was saying, you hear the term so much nowadays, just in everyday verbiage, people saying, you know, like, oh, I have PTSD over Kirk Gibson's home run. Like, well, I understand what that is, but the way, and look, everybody can, you know, you can do anything you want when it comes to how you describe things, but the way that the VA describes PTSD is one, I'll just throw this out there in case you're listening and want more information. Well, you are listening if you can hear this. I mean, if you want information, they describe, excuse me, I'm getting a frog in my throat here, the six ways that they consider PTSD. One is a serious accident or fire, a physical or sexual assault or abuse, an earthquake or flood, a war, seeing someone be killed or seriously injured, having a loved one die through homicide or a suicide. So they're not putting bad breakup into that category for those of you who think you have PTSD. But look, the word trigger, you know, I remember I had Carmen Lynch, the comedian, in studio. She said, I didn't know I was being triggered. I just thought I was being sad. I know. We'll get into it with Karen and Lyle on the other side. SalesportTalk.com. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on SportsBot.
With SailSport Talk and a sailing science spotlight. It's easy to see how a boat sails downwind. The wind pushes on a sail that's kept almost flat, and the boat zips along with the wind behind it. But how does a boat sail into the wind? The secret is air pressure. When a sail is angled into the wind, it curves. Some of the air streams along the inside of the sail, called the windward side, and some of the air streams along the curved outside of the sail, called the leeward side. The air traveling along the leeward side, remember that is the outside of the sail, has a longer way to go than the air on the windward side, the inside of the sail. So the wind on the leeward side has to go faster than the air on the windward side, and the air gets thinned out because it's going faster. When the air gets thinned out like that, the air pressure is higher on the inside, and that makes it a force that pushes the boat a little bit forward, but mostly sideways. If that were the whole story, a sailboat would keep slipping sideways and never get anywhere. But boats have rudders and either a keel or centerboard, which extends straight down underneath the boat, and this makes it resist the slipping sideways. The result is that a boat is given a thrust by the wind that is more forward than sideways, kind of like when you push down on a watermelon seed and it shoots forward across the table. You can figure out how a sail works by putting your hand outside the window of a moving car. When you hold your palm open and flat to the wind, your hand will be forced back. This is how a sailboat moves forward when the wind is directly behind the boat and the sail is fully let out. Now, turn the side of your hand toward the front of the car and cup your fingers. As you try out different angles of approach to the wind, you will feel more or less pressure on the palm and back of your hand. That's how changes in the fullness of a sail can change the degree of forward motion created. But you can't sail directly into the wind. That is called the no-go zone, because you don't go anywhere. The sail works best on your typical sailboat when it is at an angle of 45 degrees or so. This is Karen Lyle with SailSport Talk, and this has been a Sailing Science Spotlight. giving a shout out to the Physics Department of the University of California at Berkeley.
For that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is a Tuesday at 9:40, and then we check in with my co-host for this segment. It's SalesportTalk.com's Karen Lyle. Karen, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic today. How about you, Rick? How are you doing?
Not too shabby. We're very happy to bring in our guest right now. It is Elizabeth Bailey. She is the race officer of the Edgartown Yacht Club, and they are celebrating their 100th anniversary regatta. And Elizabeth, welcome to the show. A yacht club on Martha's Vineyard. This sounds pretty exclusive here.
Well, yes and no. I'm kind of what we call a local, not an islander. Islanders are born here, but I grew up here. My mom grew up here. My dad grew up here. There's a lot of normal folks on the island, and doctors and nurses. My cousin Charlie's the harbor master in Edgartown. So we've got all types. And yeah, Obama's our neighbor. But, you know, we sailors are pretty normal folk on the whole.
Do you like to be called Tot? Is that your nickname?
You know, that is my nickname. It's T-O-T. You can say it forward or backward. It works either way. And I grew up in the club. Everybody at the EYC calls me Tot, so you might as well, too.
Oh, it was because you were little. Is that how the name? No?
It's shorter than Elizabeth.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well,
it's because you really like tater tots, right?
Not entirely, no. It was my great-grandfather's nickname. He was called Tompkins when he was little, and so they gave me his nickname because I was not a boy, as they expected. Mm. I'm glad not to be called Arthur. Let me just put it that way.
Todd, how was it growing up as a young girl in the yacht club and learning how to sail? Did you take to the water right away?
You know, it would be shameful if I did not, coming from such a big sailing family. My brother Chris Hufstadter was yacht racing editor at Sailing World magazine. My dad's a champion sailor, as is my mom, both in the Shields class. I will admit, I sailed from a very early age, but I did not take to sailing class. And in fact, at the age of 10, I ran away from sailing class, beached my boat onto Chappaquiddick shore, and escaped into the woods where I plan to live for the rest of my life so I would never have to do sailing class again. So obviously, I got over it, but I spent a couple years riding horses in between.
Well, when I think about some of the notable members, you know, us being in journalism here, broadcasting, Walter Cronkite, did you as a kid see him at the club?
Yes, he had a beautiful big Hinckley called Winty that he would sail just about every day. And my little sister Alice remembers once sailing in a Harrishoff 12 and actually calling starboard on him, and he had to tack away. So that was a great moment of triumph for her.
Well, and you're good friends with our, I guess now is Claire Harrington the vice commodore, or is she a commodore now over the New York Yacht Club? Because I guess she was at Edgartown before.
Yes, Claire was here in Edgartown. She was our first woman commodore here at the Edgartown Yacht Club. So we beat out the New York Yacht Club. We're very pleased about that. And she is now the rear commodore at New York Yacht Club. And she just rolled off as head of the race committee over there. She's a very accomplished race officer and taught me a lot. And, you know, we're thrilled to see her success. And there's nobody better, woman or man, to go up the ladder than Claire Harrington, because she'll do them proud. She really will.
Now, talking about your regatta, is this a pleasure cruise or is this like, you know, a real hard-fought race here?
It's competitive. I will say we're also running simultaneously the Shields New England Championships for the 3-day Shields Regatta. And so we're hoping to get a good turnout from the Marion and Newport Shields fleets. They're competitive and they're good. And so we'd love to see them out on the circle. We have the Wiano seniors who race over from Cape Cod every year. They're coming up on their 100th anniversary of racing over for the Agritown Regatta every year in 2027. And they just add such flair to the club. Those boats are fabulous, vintage gaff-rigged schooners. And they're just great to see out on the line. We often get, you know, 25 or so of them. And then we've got, you know, in addition to the Shields, we've got our J70s, very go-fast boats. And Rhodes 19s are making a comeback. The fleet kind of died out for a while, but we're undergoing a reanimation. And then probably the most competitive and enthusiastic fleet in our club is the Little Harishoff 12 and a halves. And we've already got 15 registered for Regatta, and they are raring to go. So it's going to be great fun. That's not even mentioning the Junior Regatta, which is the 12th and 13th, with 420s, Opti Champs, and then the little Opti Green Fleeters who are undergoing their very first regatta ever, and we try to make it as fun for them as we can. So it's a good time, all in all.
Do you have consistent winds there, or is it a little bit more fluky with changes of directions and wind speeds during the race?
You know, here in Edgartown, we're really blessed most of the time with a good afternoon southerly that fills in, particularly if the mainland heats up. We get this nice southwest flow in the afternoon, about 12 to 15. It's what we call normal flow. We don't always get normal flow. From time to time, we'll have an easterly, which is always tricky for the race committee in the outer harbor because we're long and narrow and we sort of orient southwest to northeast. So when you have to sail across that, you know, with boats coming in through the channel, it can be very tricky, but we get it done. And the Shields and the Wiano seniors will be sailing over in Cow Bay, which is a much bigger, longer fetch, and they can sail in any kind of breeze over there. So we're keeping our fingers crossed for Goldilocks conditions. I am very hopeful that we have our normal flow and that beautiful southwest breeze every afternoon, because it is fun to race in.
And one of your own, Christina Farrar Stuckey, went to the Olympics in Atlanta in the 470 class, and fourth place, almost the bronze. But you got to be proud of her, huh?
So proud. And we had several Edgartown sailors in the college championships this year, and they did very, very well. So Edgartown trained kids. Christina Farrar Stuckey, believe it or not, her mom Dottie was our first woman race committee chair here at the Edgartown Yacht Club. And that was in the 80s. And Dottie was beloved out on the race course, did a super job. And I'm not surprised that she brought up a champion Olympic sailor. So,
well, and you are the race committee chair now, I believe. And you're also a musician. What similarities do you find between music and being a race committee chair?
Well, you know, Claire Harrington is the one who pointed that out to me. She has a doctorate in music and taught for many years at St. George's School in Newport. So her music background is very strong. And when she recruited me to do race management, she said, "You're a musician, you're going to get this." And at first I thought she was crazy. I'm like, what does it have to do with music? And I got out on the course and started running races, and I realized it's a lot like conducting an orchestra. There are entrances and cutoffs. There's tempo. You know, there's you're conducting a race, actually. So you feel a little bit like you're standing on a podium with a really great, you know, bunch of orchestra sections all around you, especially when we're running, as we do on normal Saturdays, four fleets on one circle. It can get to be, you know, very active and tricky, and precision comes in, and managing the pace and all of that. So I find there's a lot of similarities.
How cool is it, and me as a beer drinker, that you get your own 100th anniversary regatta beer, huh?
It's awesome. And our bar one is thrilled. We're going to be getting these gorgeous cans of beer with original artwork. Bad Martha, their symbol is a mermaid. And for the regatta can, the Century Sail Amber Ale. They've got mermaid sailing catboats in Edgartown Harbor with the lighthouse in the background and a little bit of text talking about, you know, how they've created this Amber Ale in honor of our 100th annual regatta. And I'm so grateful to owner Jonathan Blum and his team over at Bad Martha. They collaborated with us on creating the artwork for the can, on what kind of variety of beer we wanted. Jonathan's donated the beer to the club. So we're very lucky, and I'm looking forward to seeing lots of happy sailors gripping that can because it's gorgeous.
If there was one moment, and I know you have many more than this, that you could look to as a moment of sheer exhilaration, racing or sailing on your own, what would you point to?
Gosh, one moment. Lordy.
You could pick any.
I'll have to split it into two. I think as a race officer, getting a start off with a big fleet and it's clean, but it's really precise and everybody's lined up beautifully, sails filled away, just to see them go on up the course that's a huge thrill because you're like, there they go. That's a fabulous moment. And as a racer, I have to say, my last fleet was the Rose 19s and I'm not racing anymore, but back in the days when we had the cannons and you'd get a bullet when you crossed the line first and that cloud of smoke and somebody on the race committee signal boat would always sort of give you a fist pump, you know, because we're all friends. That's a great moment too.
One last question for you. For Juneteenth, you got the Amistad to come by. Now, this might be a naive question. Is that the real Amistad or is that a replica? But either way, yeah. Pretty good get.
Yeah, it's a replica, and they built it, I believe it's to scale, and they sailed it over from Connecticut. It's Connecticut's state flagship, which is pretty cool. Wow. And they had a whole crew who sailed her over. We had a gospel brunch at the yacht club with the Amistad, you know, tied up on the string piece out front, all flags flying, dressed and beautiful. And Bill Pinckney, who's the captain emeritus, first black man of any nation to solo circumnavigate the world, was on board greeting visitors and explaining dead reckoning and all kinds of things. I got to shake his hand and it was a great moment. We were thrilled to have them. It was just really terrific.
There she is, Elizabeth Tott Bailey, event chair and race officer for Edgartown Yacht Club's 100th anniversary regatta right there in Massachusetts on Martha's Vineyard. You can go to edgartownyc.org for more information. Elizabeth, thanks for coming by and giving us a little bit of that East Coast flavor today.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Karen, always great to talk to you. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds great. SalesportTalk.com. You've got a page there for that also.
There it is, SalesportTalk.com. I'm Rick Tuttle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
Where did you get those clothes? At the toilet store?
Right, boy.
I'm so disgusted by Rick Tittle that I find him very intoxicating.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. We still got two more hours to go. We got Gary Peterson coming up here in about 15 minutes from the Guess Who. The what was I going to say? Oh, yes, the Trailblazers. Does anybody still call them that? There was a rumor last night that was making the rounds that Damian Lillard is very interested in being traded to the Heat. Now, if you and I saw that, there's no doubt that Joe Cronin, the GM in Portland, definitely saw that. So today, he came out and he made everybody know that they are committed to building around Damian Lillard. And they did a great job of that on Thursday when Scoot Henderson fell to them. Scoot Henderson would have been the number one overall pick in the draft if there was no Wembanyama. I firmly believe that. And we will see if Charlotte will regret passing on him. I find it so ironic that it's Michael Jordan himself who drafted for need by taking Miller instead of just taking the best baller. But we'll see. And, of course, Lillard has spent his entire 11-year career in the Rose City, and he's been Rookie of the Year. He's been a 7-time All-Star. He's been 7-time All-NBA. He got the Blazers to the Western Conference Finals one time, and, of course, they got swept by the Warriors at that point. And, you know, there's some of the struggles beyond that, lots of trade rumors. The Blazers have been through two separate regimes in the front office. They have not budged. They didn't move him after C.J. McCollum got moved last year. And they even insisted on taking Henderson and telling Lillard that he was sticking around. And the message is the same today. But the Blazers also have a lot of money invested in Anthony Simons. And last year's number 7 pick, Shaedon Sharpe, looks like a keeper as well. So let's see if they play with four guards or not. But this is what I always want my GMs to do. If you have an amazing talent, an icon in the city who's still good, build around the guy. That's what I would do. All right. I'm Rick Tittle. We got another 2 hours. Come on back on Sports Byline.